Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Extraordinary weather conditions for much of Wisconsin. The state has been experiencing one of its driest years on record, with counties across the state in various levels of drought conditions. Yesterday's rain brought needed relief of anywhere from 2 to 4 inches for regions of the state. Flood watches were issued ranging from Fond du Lac to Dane to Kenosha counties. The National Weather Service reports several communities around Milwaukee experienced flooding. Meanwhile, in northern Wisconsin, portions of Bayfield and Douglas counties have now entered exceptional drought conditions. That is the severest level of drought and the first time it has ever been recorded in the state. President Biden will visit Wisconsin today to talk up his economic policies. Terry Bell reports.
Biden will speak at Ingeteam Incorporated. It's a green energy company that makes wind turbine generators in Milwaukee. The White House says the president will talk about how Bidenomics is investing in America to grow the economy from the middle out. Tomorrow is the first anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act, which in part aims to mitigate climate change. The president's visit comes a little over a week before Republicans gather in Milwaukee for the first presidential primary debate. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Southeastern Wisconsin Congressman Brian Stile will soon have a challenger for 2024. Nate Wegehout with more.
Lorenzo Santos is expected to announce his campaign Saturday in Racine. The Democrat is Racine County's emergency response manager. He's also an officer in the U.S. Navy Reserve and chair of the Young Democrats of Wisconsin. In a statement, Santos says his campaign will focus on reproductive rights, health care, and voting rights. Stile is the incumbent Republican who's represented the 1st District since 2019. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Another Wisconsin congressman says he's worried about a government shutdown. Congress needs to have all of its spending bills passed by September 30th. Madison area Democrat Mark Pocan serves on the House Appropriations Committee. He says the panel's work has been slowed down by Republicans on the far right.
They added all these policy riders that have nothing to do with spending, which is appropriations, around pride flags, around abortion, around diversity, equity, inclusion, and all this extreme stuff.
Pocan spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, and senior Republicans insist they won't allow federal funding to lapse. A World War II veteran from Wisconsin is 100 years old. David Cuff reached the century mark yesterday. Dozens of family and friends helped him celebrate at the VFW in Stoughton Sunday. He joined the Air Force when he was 18 and served for nearly 38 years. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. An Osceola school staff member is charged with repeatedly sexually assaulting a child. 21-year-old Trey Jensen of Dresser is a teacher's aide at Osceola Intermediate School. According to the school district, the assaults that Jensen is accused of didn't happen on school rounds or during school hours. An arrest warrant was issued Monday for Jensen by Polk County Judge Daniel Tolan. If he's convicted, Jensen faces a maximum sentence of 40 years in prison. A $1.73 million project to replace culverts and guardrails along Highway 8 from Ladysmith to Hawkins in Russ County begins this week. The work is scheduled to be done in October. Until then, there will be some single-lane closures and different traffic signals at intersections while the work is being done. A Minnesota woman is dead and another woman is hurt after crashing during a storm on I-94 yesterday in Trumbull County. The State Patrol said a 66-year-old Oakdale woman died and a 41-year-old St. Paul woman was hurt when their vehicle went off the interstate and hit a tree during a downpour. The crash happened near Osseo at 8:30 yesterday morning. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuss.
The Brewers face the Dodgers. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Over the weekend, the Brewers pulled off a 3-game sweep of the White Sox. Tonight, the road trip continues in L.A. against the Dodgers. After that, it's on to Texas to take on the Rangers. Both teams in first place in their divisions. Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
Look, we got two of the best teams in baseball on tap here, so we got our work cut out for us with two very tough road series, so a good way to start it out for sure.
First pitch tonight in L.A. is at 9:10. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers ranked 19th in the nation, despite a record of 7-6 last season. That's mostly because of the anticipation of Luke Fickell as the new head coach.
Like I said, I think we're in a good place in some positions more than others. I think the offensive line, I feel like you're in a really good spot with trying to find that mix. Defensive line, I feel that way a little bit more about too.
NFL, the New York Jets have signed former Vikings running back Dalvin Cook to a one-year deal worth $8.5 million. Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott is now a member of the New England Patriots. 1 year, $6 million. The Patriots flying to Green Bay today for a week of joint practices. The Packers rookie place kicker, Anders Carlson, continues to struggle. He missed a point after kick yesterday in practice after missing two Friday night against the Bengals.
I think being a kicker, it's all about being consistent mentally and physically. And obviously you want the results to be consistent, but you know, before the results come, you got to be personally level.
The team got a visit from Commissioner Roger Goodell, who talked about the NFL draft being in Green Bay in 2 years.
In 2025, it will actually be our 90th draft. So I can't think of a better place to be able to do that than right here.
Goodell later attended practice, wide receiver Christian Watson.
It's cool. I mean, just to have him here, especially for, you know, the event that's taking place, you know, having the draft here is going to be super exciting, super cool for all of us. So it's definitely exciting seeing him around here and just knowing that, we're having an event like that in Green Bay is going to be, it's going to be cool.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Wisconsin, welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. It is a Tuesday morning. It's 15th day of August, halfway through this month, and I hope you're having a good day so far. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, and after rain yesterday, you're going to see a lot of sunshine today everywhere around western Wisconsin. Looking for sunshine and highs of 79 degrees in Eau Claire and Amory. Sun and also Richland Center. Sunshine with a high around 80 degrees in La Crosse. And way up in Hayward, sunshine and a high of 81 degrees. Interesting that the place furthest north is going to have the warmest high temperature today. And in sports, the Brewers off yesterday. Cubs and Reds also had the day off, so the Brewers remain 3.5 games ahead of Cincinnati and Chicago. In the National League Central, Brewers start a 6-game road trip tonight in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. And in the news today, I think everybody listening right now knows what the big story is, right? Late last night, you probably heard Donald Trump and several of his close associates were indicted by a Georgia grand jury for trying to overturn 2020 presidential election and the results of that election in that state of Georgia. Also, headlines in the news today, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is reporting that most areas of western Wisconsin will see rate increases for electricity in the coming year. And after a report yesterday that Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley was editing her own Wikipedia page, dozens of people have made their own edits on her page. And also in the news, of course, oh man, more sad news from Maui and Hawaii. And if you were listening to this program yesterday,
You probably heard me talking about Maui, and I said I was going to try to get some information together in case you would like to lend a hand and help out in whatever small way you can. And of course, the easiest way to help out would be with a contribution of a financial contribution. And of course, when you think about helping out in a disaster like that, you want to know where is the best place to put your money. And my go-to when it comes to trying to help out in a major disaster is always the Red Cross, right? They're always the first ones in. They set things up, try to find people some shelter, get them some food and some water, try to help with any medical issues they may be suffering from. So that's always a great place to contribute if you want to contribute money for the disaster in Maui. But I did come across a story in Rolling Stone about other agencies that you might want to consider, and you can look for yourself at rollingstone.com to find this story that was posted yesterday, or at least a list of organizations that will be helping out the people of Maui as they try to recover from the fire that happened a week ago. And this headline in Rolling Stone says, Maui Fires Disaster Relief, How to Help Victims of Devastating Fires. Experts tell Rolling Stone the island of Maui will need aid even after the cameras leave. And this story from Rolling Stone says, and it was posted yesterday, by the way, 6 days in, the wildfire on the Hawaiian island of Maui is one of the deadliest in U.S. history. The flames started on August 8th. And spread quickly, soon encompassing major residential areas and leaving evacuating residents plagued by spotty information and hazardous roadblocks, the Associated Press reports. The death toll has been raised to 96, but does not include the thousands more unaccounted for. Amidst active search and rescue operations, this is the largest natural disaster we've ever experienced, Hawaii Governor Josh Green said at a news conference, adding that the blaze has caused billions of dollars in damage. It's going to also be a natural disaster that's going to take an incredible amount of time to recover from, end quote. With news outlets across the nation trained on the charred remnants of people's homes and businesses, an outpouring of funds for disaster relief efforts has already begun. But experts tell Rolling Stone that for everyday people who are looking for ways to help Maui and the island's residents, helping as fast as possible might mean slowing down. Kevin Scally is the chief relationship officer at Charity Navigator, a nonprofit organization that gives donors tools and advice to give money to disaster-focused organizations securely. Scally tells Rolling Stone that Charity Navigator and other philanthropic-focused companies encourage people to do their due diligence and make sure their money is going to a reputable organization. An easy way to check, according to Scally, is to search for the charity on the IRS website and confirm its nonprofit status. If someone is continually asking for money or giving deadlines, those should be red flags. Certainly, there's urgency, and people should definitely feel empowered to give, but they don't need to give in the immediate moment, Scally says. So if you have somebody that is calling you, texting you, sending you an email, it's okay to say, hey, let me do a little bit of due diligence and then give my gift, and do so in a responsible way. End quote. Another aspect to consider once you confirm that the place you want to give is legitimate and how the funds will be is how the funds will be used. Regine Webster, vice president of the Center for Disaster Philanthropy, tells Rolling Stone that one of the easiest ways to direct funding and giving is by donating directly to local organizations run and operated by Indigenous community members. Anywhere we live, there are organizations that have a pre-existing presence in our communities, Webster says. They have pre-existing relationships with individuals, families, and communities that are historically marginalized and historically underserved. Commending those organizations with financial resources is of utmost priority. Disasters begin and end local. It is already so clear to me that local communities in Maui are leading the charge for their own relief and will best be poised to lead the charge for their own recovery across the many years that it will take. End quote. Both Webster and Scali also note that while giving can seem urgent at the moment, the need for funds and support will only grow as time goes on, which means there's a good chance your donation might help more people a few months from now. I would encourage people to think about the long term, as well as that this is not the type of thing that's likely going to be resolved in a matter of a couple of weeks. The fallout of this is going to take months, if not years, Scali said. We very much know that the vast majority, somewhere between 80 and 94% of all disaster giving, occurs within the first month. And then there's this really precipitous decline, Webster adds. Anecdotally, we know that the moment that the cameras go away, the giving stops. So I would dearly encourage industry, individual, and household givers to think about that long term and support a rebuilding effort that doesn't come at the expense of Native Hawaiians. And then it says here, below are a list of charities and organizations that are accepting donations for the residents of Maui. And the first one that you may have seen on television is Maui Strong Fund, the Maui Strong Fund. And this Maui Fund is supported by the Hawaii Community Foundation and is focused on a rapid deployment of funds to local organizations who are helping with food, shelter, and immediate aid. According to the website, the fund has raised $17 million since the fires began. And that's probably gone up since this story was posted yesterday. And it has an ongoing list of organizations that are receiving money. Local organizations that need more donations to continue their work can also apply for additional funds. So the first organization that Rolling Stone lists is the Maui Strong Fund. Also, the Maui Food Bank. And one I want to get to before we take our break is the Maui Humane Society. If you are an animal lover like I am, maybe that's where you want to contribute some money. The Maui Humane Society. It says here, the island's Humane Society is working to identify and find lost pets who escaped or were separated from their families during the wildfires. They are also treating injured animals who were injured and rescued and helping find temporary housing and food for animals who can't stay with their families at the moment. And again, that's the Maui Humane Society. I'm sure you can find that with a quick search on the internet. The Maui Food Bank providing displaced and grieving residents with food and other household necessities like hygiene products, diapers, and toiletries. So we've got the Maui Strong Fund, the Maui Humane Society, the Maui Food Bank, and then, of course, the Red Cross is a great place to contribute. The American Red Cross, you can go to their website. And we got a quick break coming up. It's a short one, so stick around. I'll give you more information after the break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friend. I get high with a little help from my friend. Gonna try with a little help from my friend. What do I do when my love is away? Does it worry you to be alone? How do I feel by the end?
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Daytime highs approaching 79 today under mainly clear skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear again tonight, lows dip down to about 58. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow, highs level off around 86. Bright sunshine expected Thursday with daytime highs approaching 75. 80 Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 55.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Song that'll get you going, huh? Get you up and moving. 24 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. And welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 60 degrees in La Crosse. It's 51 degrees in Amory. And just before the break, we were discussing tragedy in Hawaii on the island of Maui. And I know a lot of people are thinking about how they could help out. Contributions of cash is the best way. And you got to be careful where you give your money. You know, when things like this happen, all of a sudden some shady organizations pop up trying to get, trying to feed off of people's, off the fact that people want to give money and they want to help out, right? People's sympathies. So just before the break, I was going over a story in Rolling Stone that has some suggestions of where you might want to contribute. The one place that they mention is the Maui Strong Fund, and any of these organizations can be easily found by doing a quick internet search. The Maui Strong Fund is the first one they mention. Also, the Maui Food Bank, providing displaced and grieving residents with food and other household necessities like hygiene products, diapers, and toiletries. So the Maui Strong Fund, the Maui Food Bank, the Maui Humane Society, looking out for the four-legged ones on the island. And as I mentioned just before the break, the American Red Cross says here in Rolling Stone that the national organization, the American Red Cross, is working to provide displaced Maui residents with temporary housing while the wildfire and rescue operations are still underway. According to the Hawaii Community Fund, all three shelters on Maui are already at capacity and serve close to 2,000 people every day. In partnership with the Salvation Army, donations are going towards food costs, staffing, shelter, and food for the people of Maui. So that's another suggestion on where you might want to contribute. The American Red Cross, in addition to the Maui Strong Fund, Maui Food Bank, and Maui Humane Society. All right, and a couple other things I want to get to here before we take a break. Well, of course, the big story, fact that former President Donald Trump was indicted yesterday. And it wasn't just him. It was like 18 of his buddies. You probably saw in the news, maybe you were watching television last night when Fani Willis was making the, or at least doing the press conference, even answering some questions after she explained things. And the headline in USA Today says, Donald Trump indicted on 2020 election fraud charges in Georgia. Charges include the use of the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, known as RICO, which penalizes activities of individuals engaging in organized crime. That's what this was, organized crime. The story was updated 2 hours ago, and we'll get into it right after we take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Former President Donald Trump and 18 of his allies this morning are under a grand jury indictment in Georgia. 13 counts handed up last night allege conspiracy and racketeering to overturn the 2020 presidential election results.
This indictment essentially alleges that from the moment the voting stopped, Donald Trump, since even before, Donald Trump was running a criminal enterprise to try to stay in office. Everything he said publicly, every speech he made, every tweet he posted, everything he did was in furtherance of a criminal conspiracy. That's how ambitious this indictment is.
That's ABC's Terry Moran. This comes as Trump is the GOP frontrunner in the 2024 presidential race. ABC's Aaron Kuchersky says,
even if he were to be elected again, he could not pardon his way out of this case. This case is pardon proof because a president lacks jurisdiction over a state case.
The Trump campaign has slammed the indictment as bogus. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. An Osceola school staff member is charged with repeatedly sexually assaulting a child. 21-year-old Trey Jensen of Dresser is a teacher's aide at Osceola Intermediate School. According to the school district, the assaults that Jensen is accused of didn't happen on school rounds or during school hours. An arrest warrant was issued Monday for Jensen by Polk County Judge Daniel Tolan. If he's convicted, Jensen faces a maximum sentence of 40 years in prison. A $1.73 million project to replace culverts and guardrails along Highway 8 from Ladysmith to Hawkins in Russ County begins this week. The work is scheduled to be done in October. Until then, there will be some single-lane closures and different traffic signals at intersections while the work is being done. A Minnesota woman is dead and another woman is hurt after crashing during a storm on I-94 yesterday in Trumbull County. The State Patrol said a 66-year-old Oakdale woman died and a 41-year-old St. Paul woman was hurt when their vehicle went off the interstate and hit a tree during a downpour. The crash happened near Osseo at 8:30 yesterday morning. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000. On average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You've heard the word a lot lately, but what does it mean to be arraigned? The Department of Justice describes it as the first court appearance for someone facing criminal charges. A judge reads those charges, then the accused enters a plea. At the end of an arraignment, a trial date is set along with bond. And depending on the severity of the charges, the judge can add conditions to take away the defendant's weapons or passport before being released. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Baby, what can I see tonight?
talking about. Now we're getting somewhere. 836 Led Zeppelin for you on a Tuesday morning. Talk about some music that'll get you up and moving. Man. And Aaron, my producer, was just telling me that that album, In Through the Outdoor, was released on this date, August 15th, 1979. Man, how time flies. I remember when that album came out. And just like every Led Zeppelin album before, it sounded so fresh and new and different than anything we'd heard before, even though it was just mostly stuff that was based in the blues, right? And they had a way of taking just basic blues stuff and really rearranging it and making it sound so fresh and new. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, everybody. Hope you're having a good day so far. We got 55 degrees in Eau Claire, and it's 51 degrees in Hayward right now, 837. And by the way, if you'd like to join us on the phone, if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. Even if you want to talk about Led Zeppelin, I'd be happy to take your call. 715-388-7155 is the phone number. You can also send me an email message if you'd like to do that. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. All right, and just before the break, we were discussing the big news of the day, the fact that Donald Trump was indicted in Georgia, his fourth indictment this year. Man, it sounds so strange to say that a former president has been indicted four times already this year. But we're going to go over this story from USA Today, giving you the latest update to this story. Then we'll move on to a couple of other things. Joe Biden is going to be in Wisconsin today. I'll give you the details on that in just a few minutes. But this story here from USA Today says a Georgia grand jury indicted 2024 presidential candidate Donald Trump and several allies Monday on conspiracy charges, trying to steal Georgia's electoral votes from President Joe Biden after the 2020 election. And let me ask my Trump supporters who are listening right now, how do you feel about this? Are you still saying that, oh, this is just a big witch hunt? And Joe Biden is out to get Donald Trump, and it's him that's doing all this. And you got to know that these indictments were handed down by a grand jury, a group of citizens in Georgia. Didn't have anything to do with Joe Biden. But if you are a Trump supporter and you believe that this is all some kind of a witch hunt and it's a hoax and these charges are all bogus, I'd like to hear from you. Feel free to call in 715-388-7155. It's good to hear different viewpoints, right? These indictments bringing 41 charges against 19 defendants accuse Trump and his confederates of a coordinated plan to have state officials essentially spike Biden's victory and award the state to Trump. Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis launched her investigation of Trump in February of 2021, like 2.5 years ago, just after the January 6th event. The indictment had been expected since a special grand jury recommended unspecified charges in February of this year. Here's what we know about the Georgia case. Trump and the others named in the 98-page indictment have until noon on Friday of next week, August 25th, to voluntarily surrender. The legal case revolves mostly around the state's RICO statute, the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, which penalizes activities of individuals engaging in organized crime. Others indicted include former Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani and former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Willis said she would seek a trial date within the next 6 months, but scheduling is up to the appointed judge. Much of the indictment focused on behind-the-scenes pressure campaign on state election workers. and the overt harassment that resulted from Trump's naming of Ruby Freeman, a poll worker he falsely accused of fraud. Willis said Trump had opportunities to legally challenge the election's results, but chose instead to pursue a criminal scheme that was counter to Georgia's process she called essential to the functioning of our democracy. The Trump campaign condemned the charges as politically motivated. Call it election interference or election manipulation, said a campaign statement. Besides the Georgia case, Trump faces New York charges of falsifying business records to make hush money payments to women who claim to have had sex with him before the 2016 election. And Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith charged him with conspiracy to obstruct justice and retaining classified documents after leaving the White House. Willis told reporters she would like a trial date for the Trump case within the next 6 months, emphasizing RICO defendants get prison, not probation. It's not a probated sentence, she said during a brief news conference in which she outlined the charges in the indictment. The Atlanta DA also said she would like to try all 19 defendants together. Willis said Trump and the other defendants have until Friday of next week, August 25th, to surrender or face arrest. She did not comment on the details of a Trump arraignment. The indictment outlines a criminal conspiracy to overturn the results of the 2020 election. She read the names of the defendants, outlined the allegations, and said the defendants are innocent until proven guilty. And here's a quote. She says, "We do want to move this case along, and so we will be asking for a proposed order that occurs a trial date within the next 6 months." The indictment also alleges that Trump and his allies falsely accused Fulton County election worker Ruby Freeman of committing election fraud and repeated these allegations to Georgia legislators and officials. Quote, "In furtherance of this scheme, members of the enterprise traveled from out of state to harass Freeman, intimidate her, and solicit her to falsely confess to election crimes that she did not commit," the indictment says. Freeman had previously testified before the U.S. House Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol attack, along with her daughter, Shay Moss, that they both faced harassment after being falsely accused of election fraud. They were cleared by Georgia authorities of wrongdoing earlier this year. House GOP leadership says the Fulton County DA is weaponizing their office. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Republican from California, posted on X following the unsealed indictment Monday, pointing fingers at President Joe Biden, writing that the current president has weaponized government against Trump to interfere in the 2024 election. And here's a quote. This is a quote from Kevin McCarthy. "Now, a radical DA in Georgia is following Biden's lead by attacking President Trump and using it to fundraise her political career." And by the way, just an aside here. What do you think would happen if former President Trump, is reelected in 2024 and becomes president again? And if the House is controlled by Republicans, do you think there's a chance that they would go after Joe Biden for, in their words, allegedly weaponizing government against Trump to interfere in the 2024 election? I would be willing to bet on it. I'll continue with the story here from USA Today. It says, among Republican leadership, Republican Conference Chair New York Representative Elise Stefanik also took to X to defend Trump, writing that he had every legal right to challenge the results of the election and that Willis displayed political bias toward Trump. Quote, "This is another rogue, far-left, radical district attorney weaponizing their office to target Joe Biden's top political opponent, President Trump," she wrote. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens and how many more indictments Donald Trump is going to be charged with in the coming weeks. 8:46 and a half right now. Going to take a quick break. It's a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin. They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
President Joe Biden is in Wisconsin on Tuesday, August 15th, and you'll find complete coverage of his visit on your local Civic Media radio station.
News director Terry Bell will kick it all off during the newscast at noon, followed by Town Call with Devil's Advocates host Mike Crute joining the show live on location in Milwaukee. Then listen for the president's speech during the Todd Alba Show after 1 p.m.
Special live coverage of President Joe Biden's stop in Milwaukee Tuesday, August 15th, starting at noon on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast. Daytime highs approaching 79 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies, winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies again tonight, lows level off around 58. Daytime highs approaching 86 tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Ample sunshine expected Thursday with daytime highs approaching 75, 80 Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM, right now 57.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
They are fit together in the same machine. Dancing bear, or a ginger Rajah's and a Fred Astaire, or the teenage rocker, or the girls in France. Yes, we all are partners in this cosmic dance.
In this cosmic dance. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 8:52 right now. Music from Ambrosia. Nice, nice, very nice. That song was a big hit on FM rock and roll radio back in the 1970s. And it still sounds great today, I believe. Hope you agree with me. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, and we've got 60 degrees right now in Richland Center, also 60 degrees in La Crosse, looking for lots of sunshine today, and highs in the upper 70s, even low 80s in some places. Going to be a nice day. One thing I want to mention here is that Joe Biden is coming to Wisconsin today, according to the Wisconsin State Journal, Madison.com. It says Biden to talk economy in Wisconsin a week before the Republican debate in Milwaukee. And it says in a show of preemptive counter programming, President Joe Biden today travels to Wisconsin to highlight his economic policies in a state critical to his reelection fortunes. Just a week before Republicans descend on Milwaukee for the party's first presidential debate. His trip comes on the eve of the anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act, a major economic legislation that he signed into law with great ceremony. But polls show that most people know little about it or what it does. Wisconsin is among the handful of critical states where Biden needs to persuade voters that his policies are having a positive impact on their lives. And he is expected to visit frequently to make his case. Biden plans to tour Ingeteam, I believe it's pronounced, a clean energy manufacturer of onshore wind turbine generators in Milwaukee, to talk up provisions of the law that spends hundreds of millions of dollars to boost domestic manufacturing and clean energy, lower healthcare costs, and crack down on wealthy tax cheats. Ingeteam plans to hire 100 workers using bipartisan infrastructure law money to start producing EV charging stations domestically, according to the White House. Also timed to Biden's trip, multinational tech firm Siemens is set to announce that it will start manufacturing solar inverters in Kenosha County using tax incentives from the IRA law, the Inflation Reduction Act. Administration officials say the trip is meant to recognize the effects of the law, the IRA, which passed Congress on party line votes. In other words, Democrats voted for it. Republicans voted against it. Evidently, Republicans don't want to reduce inflation. The president and his team are excited to bring that message to the American people throughout the week, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said on Monday. Critics of the legislation say provisions of the law could end up increasing inflation. Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers said during a virtual Peterson Institute for International Economics event in July that while he supported the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, the Biden administration's overall economic agenda is, quote, increasingly dangerous. Republicans cannot support anything that Joe Biden does, evidently. I am profoundly concerned by the doctrine of manufacturing-centered economic nationalism that is increasingly being put forth as a general principle to guide policy, Summers said. And what that means is he's concerned that we're trying to bring manufacturing back to the United States. What's wrong with that? But by putting it in such words, it makes it seem like there's a real problem, and Republicans and Trump supporters might believe it. Vice President Kamala Harris and top cabinet officials will be fanning out across the country this week to talk about the Inflation Reduction Act and its provisions. Biden has scheduled an anniversary event at the White House tomorrow. The president's stop in Wisconsin today comes shortly before Republicans hold their first presidential primary debate in Milwaukee next week, Wednesday, about a week from tomorrow, the 23rd. Former President Donald Trump, the leading Republican candidate in polls so far, has yet to say whether he will boycott or hold a competing event. Charles Franklin, director of Marquette Law School poll, said the trip could help Biden win support from independents, who make up about 10% of voters in the state. What he really needs to do is get independents in the state to like him a bit better, Franklin said, coming and talking about his achievements, about factories that are working with American jobs. All of that is a good reason to come to speak to those folks in the state who are not partisans, because Democrats are already behind him, Franklin said, and Republicans are almost certainly not going to cross over. Democratic gains helped decide a critical state Supreme Court race this spring that moved Wisconsin's highest court under liberal control for the first time in 15 years. Going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Your name and lights above it.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media.